As you know, last March, you guys had an agenda item. Even previous to that, with our strategic plan, we had a lot of interest in pursuing alternative ways to compensate teachers, to retain teachers, to attract high-quality teachers, and to ultimately impact student achievement. So we entered into the partnership with Battelle for Kids last spring, and for the last, 10 months or so, we have been meeting with a stakeholder group, a design team composed of teachers and other school personnel. We've had some board member input on the committee as well. So we're at a point now where we've kind of culminated with some thoughts that we want to present to you. We have Emily Douglas McNabb here, and Emily is going to present to you kind of where we are with the phase of development that we're at, and let you take a look at it and see if we can get a thumbs up, thumbs down, or what your thoughts are. Emily?
Thank you for the opportunity for letting me be here today. You'll see as we talk through this plan, that kind of the plan going forward is in two different phases, and there are a couple different reasons for that, but as we get into it, you'll see more as to why that is. So we're first going to talk about the journey that Brian has been on, which is very different than a lot of school districts you're going to see nationally who are starting to have these conversations. For the main reason that Brian has a history of looking at compensation in a different way for teachers through the fact that the district has been involved in the Teacher Incentive Fund grant and has been working under the TAP program since 2010. And that grant actually is a federal grant that went from 2010 to 2015. And the district was part of a statewide group that received money to specifically implement TAP. Did you want to add anything, Dr. Rogan?
Well said.
Okay. So one of the things that people look at when they start this work is where are they currently at and what have they learned and where do they want to go from here. So one of the things that we did was we built a design team. The design team, and we actually have the different people who were on this design team on the next slide. But we always suggest to be able to build diverse design teams. What does that mean? It has to have, number one, the rule is lots and lots of teachers. If we're going to talk about teacher pay, we have to have teachers in the room. Number two, it has to have building leaders. If building leaders are the people that manage teachers in a building, we have to make sure we have their input as well. They also are very keen into what positions they're having issues staffing currently in their building. Another group that's very, very important to have involved in this conversation are representatives from HR as well as representatives from finance. So we have both of those people obviously from the table today. We have lots of people on our team. So one of the things that we did is we went through and we did a lot of learning. We reviewed research. We looked at articles. We talked through how people felt around the TAP model and the TAP program, what the teachers liked, what the teachers didn't like. We had board members there who got to hear some of that feedback. We reviewed actually district data, which was kind of an interesting thing for most people because depending upon the teacher and what building they're in, their day may look very different because their student demographics are different, and a lot of times people don't understand that because they're not in it every day. So that was a big eye-opening experience for many people. Like it notes, we met between April and December. We met about one time a month, and we had lots of things that we talked through. Even district strategy, we pulled up the strategic plan and looked through those documents. Open conversations again around TAP, what you like, what you didn't like, lots of passionate things that came from that conversation. Reviewed research and had conversations on how does really compensation fit into the larger picture of HR as the department, and thinking through the idea that sometimes people in the profession will tell you that teachers aren't all about money, which is an important factor, but one of the things that we have to talk about are what are some of those other pieces that draw people to the district to want to work here and want to live here and want to bring their kids, you know, to come to school here. Here's a list of our design team members. You can see how diverse they are. In the teacher group, we not only had elementary and middle school and high school educators, but we also had curriculum coordinators. So we really got a nice differentiation between people who are in a classroom every day who can tell us what really goes on there versus some of the people who work to support them in their daily work. One of the big important pieces about this was really collecting feedback on TAP. So here are a few things that they said they liked, the design team group, and a few things the teacher said they didn't like. This really kind of lent a direction to our work. And this is something that actually people all over the country who are involved in this program are having these same conversations right now nationally. So what they said they really enjoyed about it was that there was a link to professional development, and that depending upon how you were evaluated, you actually received suggestions on very specific PD that you could implement that would help you grow as a teacher in the profession. It really rewarded high-performing teachers. This was something that a lot of people in our group talked about. You know, the whole idea that right now what we have in most school districts in the country is a step-in-lane system for your base pay, meaning that depending upon what degrees you have or how many years of service you have is exactly how much money you make. So one of the things the teachers talked about frequently was that they didn't always see that as fair, and that the person in the classroom next to them who may have equivalent years of experience may not be as the high of level of quality that they felt they individually were themselves, and that yet those people got the same increases. That having the system like this with TAP was a motivator for high-performing teachers in tested areas specifically for them to stay. We had lots of conversations about some of the other organizations, districts that are close by and what they pay and who they tend to, I'm going to use the word, poach away from Brian, and that if these programs were in place, people, we had actually somebody who taught math in our group said that this is, they really enjoy their school, but this would make sure that they stayed in their building. Things that they didn't like about TAP, and this is also important to know, that sometimes highly performing teachers were not able to earn an award due to their building's performance, and you would really have to see how that model works, but essentially what it was is even if you were a high performing teacher, if your building didn't make certain marks, you as an individual weren't rewarded, which for them was the reverse of what it should have been. If you were in a building that was hard to be in and hard to teach in and you were really great, you should have received those rewards. So they really didn't agree with that. They also didn't like the fact that not everybody could participate, meaning that not all teachers could participate. Those are very specific things written about TAP, the Teacher Advancement Program specifically, and how that works. Confusion on to how value-added or VA scores were to be used for improvement. This is actually something that came into our conversations every day, every time we met, and something is important to think about as the state moves forward with looking at a new teacher evaluation rubric and how data will play a role in that. One of the things that we always talk about at Battelle for Kids is that if you have data and measures that are used that people don't understand, and they, A, don't understand how you calculated them, and B, you don't understand how you can use that data to improve, they really aren't, you know, what we're trying to focus on, which is improving instruction. The model was not flexible, and that it really didn't meet Brian's needs. And again, that's one of the things, and there's a kind of a national piece on this, is that teacher advancement program was made using best practice research, and so it's a out-of-the-box plan, if you want to think about it like that. So there are small pieces you can customize, but you really buy it at it as is. One of the things that we do at Battelle for Kids is we try to help people understand that every district is different and that you have to be able to build a program that works for you and works for your teachers, because not everybody sits in a college town next to a district that looks very different. Everybody has different needs. So that's one of the important parts of this design phase.
All set.
So here's kind of the draft plan. Again, please notice it says draft on the top of it. Number one, there are three pieces to this plan. The first piece is around base pay. So really what it would be is that teachers who are currently in the district would get a base pay increase, which would be a flat dollar amount or percentage depending upon the budget and how that works out, based upon a step or being here another year. There would not be a performance indicator in the base pay piece for the first phase of the plan, for the reason that, number one, you guys don't have the data. As a state, you don't have the data yet. We see lots of people doing that nationally, but you have to have really good data to be able to do that. New teachers, there would be a new hiring schedule that would be put in place for base pay.
Let me shed some light on the hiring schedule. Essentially what we're saying is we would publish a schedule for the world to see, for people new to the district, teachers new to the district would be able to conclude their pay. But we would not be paying our teachers, that schedule. We would pay them an amount that would hopefully be higher than the amount that we publish. And so that's kind of the subtle difference between what we're talking about, what we do now, and what we would be going to for the coming year. Okay.
The second tier would be a supplements piece. The district currently has supplements in place for people in certain types of roles. So, for example, there's already a bilingual supplement. And rules around what you have to do during the day to be able to receive that supplement, that's that rules section. But the teachers and the design team felt that it was really important to specifically look, and actually the math piece is already also currently going on in the district, but one of the things that we hear conversations going around nationally is that when it becomes an accountability area, so a STAR or an EOC tested area, we're seeing people who don't want to take on that level of accountability. So one of the things that the teachers talked about consistently was, if I'm in that area and I am an EOC or STAR tested person and my name comes back on those scores, I should be able to receive a stipend because my name is on that piece of paper at the end of the day. So that was really, at the end of the day, how that kind of got put together. The payment would be done over 12 months, very similar to the way that the other supplements are currently done. The last piece, which is something different and new, would be a campus-level performance bonus. So what this means is, and one of the things that we talked about, and just as a thought to ponder as you go home, is there something very different between giving everybody an increase and doing something for people who go above and beyond. That's what this is designed to be. That's what they wanted it to be, the teacher group did, the design team, was they wanted to be able to reward people at a campus level who went above and beyond it, that their performance was exceptional. So here's how this would work. The measure would be that they must meet the state standard, and additionally, they must meet a certain specific number of distinctions, which in distinctions also includes a student attendance measure that's calculated in there. As for the specific numbers and how that's going to be done, we have to see how the data comes back, number one, this year, to see if there are going to be any changes, as well as some of the testing pieces. But we also have to know a budget to be able to say this is exactly how the pieces would fit together in that. The next pieces, though, are some rules around what you would have to do as an individual. Even if your building met the requirement, what you would have to do as an individual to, quote, play in the game. So we'll show you a little bit more of that on the next piece. And the payment would be after the district has received their data from the state, and that's very standard. Lots of districts in Texas do that when it comes to these, you know, building-based or individual-based stipends for performance. So that's how that works. Rule details. So I'm going to go through these, and we can have a conversation later if we need to. So number one would be an attendance requirement. Sometimes this makes people nervous, but here's exactly what it is. If you don't show up to practice, you can't play in the game. So the quick, easy way for me to say that. So what it means is that you can't be absent for more than 4 full days to be eligible for the building-based bonus. We had many conversations around why 4 days. We actually pulled district data and looked at how many days people miss on average. And that was where the group decided to sit on the number of days. The important thing to know is, though, and if you see all that language that sits after it and all the black and white text, this is one of those rules that has to be very specifically black and white. So people would not be held accountable for, or it would not be held against them, if they were to be off on family medical leave, because by the federal government's rules, we can't hold that against them, that if they're out for all of these different types of leave that are right here, temporary disability leave, assault leave, jury duty, school business, a long list of things. So what you're really trying to get at are the people who consistently miss multiple days. The great part about this is that increases, it should increase your student achievement and growth, because when teachers are in the classroom with their students, that's more time they have to do real learning. As well as it also helps you to look at how much money you're spending on substitute teachers, right? So it helps as a kind of an up and a down on both sides of those. There would be a higher placement date, meaning that you have to be in place in a building by a certain date. That's just so we know that, you know, who really, again, is eligible to receive a payment. And then an evaluation score component, essentially saying that if you received an unsatisfactory evaluation as defined by board policy, you would also not be eligible to receive a payment. Again, it's the whole piece is that we want to make sure we're really rewarding people who lent to the building being so highly performing. Certification requirements, that you must complete the required hours of PD, to be a Texas State Board certified teacher, that you must be in good standing as defined, you know, at the time of bonus payout by the board. And then it talks through if you are in multiple buildings. We have a lot of people who are saying, well, I teach in more than one building. How in the world do you handle me if I'm in a building that one building receives it and one building doesn't? So you have to write rules for those types of things, as well as a movement piece. The big piece being here is this, is that typically payouts for these types of bonus-based performance awards are going to actually occur the following school year. So 15-16 would be the performance year, but you won't get the data back in time to pay until the next school year. So the whole piece is that some people will say if you're not actually a staff member of the district, you're not eligible to receive that money. The way that we wrote this was that if you retire and if you're not technically an employee of the district, you're still going to be able to receive your performance-based bonus. That was something the teachers felt was very important. But that if you resign, essentially, and are no longer an employee, you are not eligible to receive that money. That was how they were looking at retaining great people here, so we don't want to pay you because you're in a great building and then you left. So we want to pay you when you stay. Phase two of this work would then kind of go from 2017-2018 school year, which is just a draft plan at this point in time. Many, many districts who are looking to transition to these types of plans put together a phased approach plan. So the big change would be is, number one, that there would be a market study of teacher compensation done in phase two. There are lots of people in Texas who do that. There would also be in a critical assignment area, which you'd add a building component to that. That would actually have to be after you guys realign your district. So meaning that if you have somebody that's in a hard-to-staff building, as well as in a hard-to-staff role, like a math, a science, a bilingual, a STAR EOC, that they would also be eligible for a stipend as well. And then again, that campus-level performance piece, which could change depending upon what state data looks like.
Regarding, the intensity or the amount of additional administration, yeah, I think with the way we have it designed, it's pretty reasonable. There is one area, the absence management, that could create a little bit of a workload, and so we may consider tweaking that if we find that it is. But that's one reason why I think we arrived at a campus bonus and not an individual bonus. Because under TAP, when we had individual teacher bonus calculations, it's very labor-intensive and takes away from a lot of other things that we should be doing. So, but I think the plan as designed is pretty realistic to administer without a lot of added need. And then just taking a look at the absence one to see. The second part of your question, or the second question you had, what are your thoughts, Emily?
Texas is in a transition, right? So number one, with teacher evaluation, along with many other states in this country. I will tell you that we work with a lot of states that really transitioned to teacher evaluation protocols, very similar to what Texas is doing for 15-16, that did it in 10-11. Those rubrics are built to be evidence-based, so when you go into a classroom, you either see that somebody's doing this or they're very obviously not. So they're built specifically to remove that human factor of likability. Now, I'm not going to lie to you that you're going to remove that, right, completely, ever. But the whole piece is that they're built to not have that influence end up with the score.
And we have a minimal, right now as the rule is written, you must not be unsatisfactory. We have a very minimal number of teachers that actually are in that category. I'm talking one or two out of approximately 1,100. So we are purposefully waiting for the state of Texas to come out with the new T-test program that was supposed to roll out next fall, that they delayed and identified next fall or next year as a refinement year. So it's not now going to come out till the next year, which would be fall of 16. And so everyone involved, teachers, administrators, all of us will have to be trained for that evaluation system, and it'll take a little time. So we want to get that in place, figure it out, get everybody comfortable, and then if there's a need to take a look at the evaluation component to tweak it in some way, we certainly think we could. But at the very least, we feel comfortable with saying you must have gotten a satisfactory evaluation. Because we have a bonus design for the entire campus, and when we look at things like having met state standard, getting as many distinctions as you can get, and also pulling out student attendance, we even talked about, outside of the conversations with the group, making student attendance an indicator that's an add-on bonus, if you will. If your campus holistically gets, let's say, 97% student attendance, there's another pot of money or another piece of the bonus that could be added. I think for our extra and our elective teachers, fine arts, athletics, career tech, all those really have a big influence to get student attendance, which in turn will increase academic achievement, we believe. So we think they'll contribute significantly and be rewarded for what they do every day.
Well, maybe. I'm not sure that sounds a whole lot different than TAP, though.
Yeah, well, with TAP, when I think with what we heard was not so much I'm at this site that's a TAP site. That comment particularly comes from teachers who are at non-TAP campuses who were just, you know, oblivious to anything that was going on with TAP, the professional development all the way through, the delivery all the way through, the bonus pay. Because we had about 8 to 9 campuses at one time that participated in it and the others didn't. We have not shared the new T-test system with you all, the new teacher evaluation system. It is designed to have 20% of their measure will be what the state has identified as value add, which would essentially mean for someone who's not in a state-tested assessment area, they will come up with some mechanism to measure their value, which will probably be performance goals and did you meet them. And that plays perfectly with our fine arts teachers, our career technology teachers.
So where do those performance goals come from? How do they get
input? Well, initially we believe, we don't know for sure, but we believe initially they'll be self-defined between the teacher and their appraiser. And maybe department defined as well to some extent, but the state has not dictated or shared any light on the elective areas of how we will measure their performance through the value add. But that's what we believe we'll do. They'll be self-directed.
A lot of states do that for that group of people that are the non-tested.
Which is probably better, or the best thing you can do in a disciplined environment of what do we want to achieve this year, and you're having a conversation with your supervisor, a guided comment. I think it works well.
And in the case of fine arts, that would be Mr. Legerio, or would that be the principal?
Ultimately, it would be the principal with Mr. Legerio involved in the conversation, but it would be the campus principal.
Okay.